Our scripture reading this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 52, beginning at verse 13 and going into Isaiah 53, verse 13, to the end of Isaiah verse 13. It can be found on page 1144 in the Pew Bibles. Isaiah 52, beginning at verse 13. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We are like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no evidence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and it was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressions, for the transgressors. So far the reading of God's word, and may it be a guiding light unto our path. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lenten season helps us to look at and remember the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. A few years ago, the movie The Passion stirred a renewed interest in the death of Jesus. Many people, after watching that movie and contemplating the life and death of Jesus, asked the question, why did Jesus have to die? The death of Jesus on the cross has stirred much controversy over the course of history. People have despised the meaning behind the cross. But because of the cross, lives have been changed. Nations have fallen, and governments have been established. The death of Jesus is one of the most talked about and debated events in all of history. Let me assure you today that the death of Jesus on the cross is not a fable or a fictional story, but is an actual event in history. The death of Jesus has also had great meaning on believers' lives. Many people treasure the cross and the meaning behind it. There have been a lot of meaningful events that have taken place in history, but the death of Jesus is a foundational to the Christian faith. Although I know the significance and the necessity of the cross, like others, I am still wondering, why really did Jesus have to die? And why did he have to die the way that he did? I sometimes try to picture the scenes following the death of Jesus. I picture the look of innocence on his face as he was betrayed and arrested. I picture the sadness on his face as he stood facing the crowd and they yelled for him to be crucified. Then I picture the pain on his face as he hung bleeding on the cross, and I still wonder why. The reason why is you and me. Jesus had to die because we chose sin above God. We love sin more than we love God. And Jesus wanted to bring about a restoration between us and the Father. On a hill far away stood an old ragged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. I hope that as we reflect during this Lenten season, that we do not treat this like just any other season, but we look back thankful for the cross. I think sometimes we become so used to the idea that Jesus died on the cross that it really has no impact on our lives. The fact that Jesus died for our sins should impact us deep down and penetrate right down to the bottom of our hearts, and then leave us as it left the Jews on Pentecost, pierced to the heart, wondering what we can now do. I know that to the world they do not understand the death of Jesus. As Paul said in Corinthians, that God chose the foolish things like the cross to shame the wise. The world will never understand the sacrifice of our Savior. They will never understand why God allowed Jesus to go through what he went through. But hopefully we can be better equipped to share this message with other people. The world may laugh and scorn, but we value the cross in a way that we do. But without the death of Jesus, we would be lost in our sins. As we reflect on Isaiah 52 and 53 this morning, we will see why Jesus had to die. One reason why Jesus had to die was for our sins was out of obedience to God, the Father. Jesus had to die simply because it was the will of God that he did. We know that God's will is early on. Just after Adam and Eve sinned and lost the fellowship they had with God, God said that he would provide a way for a restoration to take place. God then, through Abraham, took the promise that from him the Messiah would come. We see that promise flow throughout the Old Testament. It was the will of God that there be a sacrifice once and for all for the people's sins. It was God's will that Jesus should suffer and die for our sins. Jesus knew from the very early on in his life what his purpose was. He knew what he came to do. The gospel tells us that he fixed his face to Jerusalem and did not turn back. Many times he would speak of what he had come to do. Jesus knew it was the will of God that he was to be killed. Jesus told his disciples that he must be handed over and killed and then rise again on the third day. One reason that Jesus was killed in the way that he did was because it was God's will. We learn from the Old Testament sacrifices that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus needed to die because it was God's will that he be killed so that he could be a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Jesus was completely obedient to the Father's will. The best example we see in Scripture that it was the Father's will that Jesus die is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prayed there for God to let this cup pass through him, yet not his will, but God's will be done. It was God's will that Jesus died. I believe that shows us the great love of God. God would willingly spare the life of his son so that we might spend eternity with him. Jesus was perfectly willing to be obedient to the Father. Jesus willingly left heaven to come, live on this earth, and die for our sins. Oh, that old ragged cross we despise by the world has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. Another reason that Jesus died was to fulfill prophecy predicted in the Old Testament about him. God had worked in his perfect plan to slowly show people what was to come through Jesus. The sacrificial sacrifice of the Old Testament previewed what was to come through Jesus. God worked it out so that he taught the people that the shedding of the blood was needed for the forgiveness of sins. God instituted the sacrificial lamb, which would become a foreshadowing of Jesus, the Lamb of God. God required that the people offer a spotless lamb as a sacrifice so that their sins could be forgiven. This all was to foreshadow that there was one day going to come a sacrifice once and for all. The Old Testament law and the sacrifices were offered in the temple were still powerless to save man. God again gave a glimpse to the people through the story of Abraham and Isaac of what was to come through the sacrifice of Jesus. God told Abraham to take his son Isaac and to offer him as a sacrifice to God. Abraham took Isaac on a journey to Jerusalem and up to Mount Moriah to offer him as a sacrifice. Not only did God show through foreshadowing the things which would come through Jesus, but in the Old Testament scriptures, we also have predictions about the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Isaiah predicted graphically the death of Jesus. And we can see that Jesus fulfilled these Old Testament predictions. David in Psalm 22 predicted graphically also the death of Jesus. Some people would say that Jesus set out in his life to fulfill these Old Testament predictions. But it is clear that many of the things that took place were out of Jesus' control. The way that Jesus lived up to what was written about him many years before is just simply amazing. Within the Old Testament scriptures, there are over 300 prophecies in which Jesus fulfilled them all. The likelihood of anyone else doing this is astronomical. The way that Jesus fulfilled prophecy proves he was the Messiah. The Old Testament predicted that one would come and die for the forgiveness of men's sin. And Jesus fulfilled those predictions. Christ redeemed us from the curse that we deserve by becoming a curse on the cross for our sins. The scripture teaches that there were two ways to be cursed in the law. One was to break the commands of the law. We did that, but Jesus never did. Second, was cursed is anything that which hangs on a tree. Jesus became for us by dying on the cross that curse in the way he did. Jesus died to fulfill the Old Testament predictions. The main reason why Jesus had to die was because of sin. It was because of sin that separation from God came. Romans 3, verse 23, Jesus came to be the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, to remove the sins of the world. It was because of sin that we could not enter into God's presence. Following the Civil War, a dejected Confederate soldier was sitting outside the grounds of the White House. A young boy approached him and inquired why he was so sad. The soldier related how he had repeatedly tried to see President Lincoln to tell him why he was unjustly deprived of certain lands in the South following the war. On each occasion, as he attempted to enter the White House, the guards crossed their bayonet guns in front of the door and turned him away. The boy motioned to the old soldier to follow him. When they approached the entrance, the guards came to attention, stepped back, and opened the door for the boy. He proceeded to the library where the president was resting and introduced the soldier to his father. The boy was Tad Lincoln. The soldier had gained an audience with the president through the president's son. We have access to God through the Son because Jesus died on the cross to remove our sins. Jesus died on the cross as a sin offering. He became sin on the cross so that we could be forgiven and reconciled to God. Sometimes I think we overlook the severity of our sins. We do not think they are a big deal, so we never change or stop. We know we have forgiveness, so we continue to indulge in our sins without changing our lives. We rename our sins into names that sound better so we can justify our actions. We call adultery an affair. We call lying, fibbing, or exaggerating. And for other sins, we do the same. It is time we take our sins seriously because we were bought at a price. It is by Jesus' wounds we were healed. Our sins came at the cost of a perfect sacrifice. Someone innocent had to die for our sins. Jesus became the spotless Lamb of God on the cross, taking away our sins. The best message we can gain from the cross is that Jesus willingly took on the sins of the whole world. As Jesus hung there, all of our sins were upon him. The good news is he would have gone through all the beatings, the torture, and the pain just for one of us so that we might be forgiven of our sins. We cannot obtain forgiveness from any other means except through Jesus. He alone can bring forgiveness of sins. The truth of the matter is, none of us deserve God's grace. None of us deserve to have forgiveness of sins. But through Jesus, we do not get what we deserve. Our sin deserved a penalty. That penalty is death. We all deserve spiritual death and separation from God. But Jesus died as our sacrifice. We are pardoned and sanctified. In that old ragged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see, for 'twas on that cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly gracious Father, we're thankful for what Jesus has done on the cross for us. There are not enough words out there to say how thankful and how blessed we are. But we know that we are blessed because of what Jesus has done. We believe that Jesus did die on that cross for us, that he covered our sins, renewed us, cleansed us, and made us anew. Lord, as we go through this Lenten season, as we go throughout the year, let this be a reminder to us of what the cross means and what Christ did for us on that cross, where he died not just for one of us, but for all of us. He bore our sins and died on that cross so that we may have eternal life. Thank you. Thank you for Lord Jesus for doing that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.